Welcome to Soul Sciences. I'm your host, Charlene. Many of these podcasts explore writers, especially memoir writers, as they examine the journey of their lives. From time to time, you will discover a totally unique podcast on subjects ranging from muons to those lights that flash when you press your eyelids and anything in between. I hope you enjoy today's program on Soul Sciences. Welcome, everyone. Today I'm here with Laura Lillibridge, who has a wonderful new memoir about her time as a child growing up with two women parents. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you.
Laura, give us the name of this book that's due out when?
It's due out April 3rd, 2018 with Skyhorse Publishing. It's called Girlish, Growing Up in a Lesbian Home.
Well, that's certainly a dynamic title and one that will catch a lot of people's attention. Speak to us directly, please, about what it was like growing up in a lesbian home.
One of the points of my book is that growing up in a lesbian home was really not a whole lot different than growing up in a heterosexual home. One of my problems in writing the book was that so much of day-to-day life is really just day-to-day life, eating Cheerios, you know, doing your homework. In my particular family, my mom's partner was bipolar. And that was really the major focus of my childhood, the major problem in my childhood. And that was much more formative than my mom's sexuality. So when people ask, what was it like to grow up in a lesbian home? I can't really answer. I can tell you what it was like to grow up in my home, but I can't speak to a universal experience. I can tell you that in the 70s, it was not approved of by anyone. It was a big secret that we had to keep. As my brother and I have a brother who's a year and a half older, and we had to be very careful who we told. We lived with the threat hanging over our head that our parents could be fired. You know, obviously we knew we could get beat up at school. Gay slurs were common in the playground for anyone, you know. That was the most common put down, was to call someone, I probably shouldn't say here, but we all know the words. So we had stories, and one story was that Pat was my mom's sister, and they were both divorced, so we were all living together. And another story was that she was a housemate and was renting a room. And another story was that she was my godmother. But because we didn't have just one story, I couldn't keep straight who I had told what story to. And the kids at school would start questioning me. Well, wait, I thought you said she was your godmother. Now you say she's your aunt. Well, which is it? And then I'd say, oh, well, she was my godmother and my aunt. And then in junior high, another girl in my class, whose mother was bisexual, outed me to the school and told everyone that my mom was a lesbian. I assume she did it to deflect attention off of herself and her own mother, but Lara pairs very well with lesbians, so I became Lara the lesbian, and I got teased quite a lot in school. It got so bad that my mom had to go in and talk to the principal, which didn't do much good. And then finally she sat down with the mother of this girl that had outed me and said, hey, get your daughter in line. And that mother did. And then the teasing stopped. And that was a very traumatic year for me. But on the other hand, I didn't have to keep the secret anymore because everyone knew. So there was, I guess, a silver lining in it. One thing that's interesting to me now in my mid-40s is the number of high school classmates that have contacted me on Facebook and said that my family was the first family they knew and how it has helped them in life to have just seen normal people going to open houses at school and school concerts. And some of those classmates have had children that are gay and lesbian, and some of them have had siblings and friends. And, you know, a few of them have gone out of their way to contact me to just let me know how much knowing a gay family, even if we weren't really friends at the time, but how much that helped them to be open in their own life as they got older. I'm not sure if I answered any of your question, but...
You have done a wonderful job responding to the question, and we have a whole lot more information about what it was like growing up. Did you feel anything in terms of your own sexuality? Did it, having two mothers, did that shape your feminine nature in any particular way that you're aware of?
Oh, absolutely. I was terrified that I would wake up and be a lesbian. My mom's partner said she knew she was a lesbian since she was 12, and my mother didn't discover that she was a lesbian until she got involved in the feminist movement in college. So I sort of viewed gayness as something that just randomly happens to people, and I wanted no part of it. I didn't want that lifestyle. I mean, we were an unhappy family. We had to live a very closeted life. My mom had to lie to everyone at work, and Pat had to lie to everyone at her work, and it was, to me, the worst possible life, and I wanted nothing to do with it. So I always had a boyfriend, and when your mom is a lesbian, everyone asks, every father of a friend, every father of a boyfriend that I had in high school, not the mothers, but always the fathers would ask, oh, your mom's a lesbian? You ever think you're a lesbian? And I always had to defend it. The downside on that is that I did feel attraction to women, but I would never allow myself to act on it. Couldn't explore being bisexual at all because I couldn't prove everyone right. And I did get married at 20 to a guy I met at 18, and I was on the heterosexual path. And I do want to clarify that I do not identify as a lesbian woman and I am in a relationship with a man, but I do acknowledge my bisexuality and that it wasn't until I was in my 20s and we all moved to Key West and we lived in a town where it was okay to be queer and nobody much cared about it that I could relax enough and allow myself to explore the idea. Up until that point, it just terrified me and I wouldn't even think about it. I was very mainstream. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mother. I wanted a very conservative lifestyle. When I was in high school, which was in the late 80s, early 90s, I graduated in 91, just to set the time period. And I wanted a man to be the head of my household. I didn't want to risk any sort of feminism that might lead me astray. But also the feminists I saw were angry, unhappy people. I didn't see feminists that I thought were pretty or were smiling people that I wanted to emulate. I saw a lot of women that in the 70s rejected any kind of femininity and didn't shave their legs and didn't wear makeup. And I was a girly girl. And I wanted to wear makeup, and I wanted to wear high heels, and I wanted to wear bikinis, and I didn't see a place for me in feminism. It wasn't until I was older, probably in my 30s, that I both appreciated how much of my feminist upbringing I had internalized. Of course women should get paid the same as men. Of course women are as smart as men. Of course women could do whatever men can do. Like, I never had to fight for any of those issues because my mom's had done that for me. And in my 30s, I finally appreciated that who I was and what I have been able to do in life was because I was standing on the backs of the women who came before me. And that was when I really kind of came into my own version of feminism and finally understood my mother a little bit more. I was watching this TV show called Mad Men. I don't know if you're familiar about this ad agency. And I really finally saw what it was like for my mother when she went to work, you know, how hard it was to get ahead, the men always touching your backside, having to wear pantyhose, all of these things that I thought were rather preposterous. That was really how life was. And I was really, you know, as a teenager and a young adult, oblivious to what the world had been like.
I love your phrase, I'm standing on the backs of the other women. That is so true for all of us. All of the Weinstein and coming forward from last October, all of that couldn't have happened without the absolute battle cry of all those women from about 1890s at least. And of course, I know throughout history there were uprisings of women and various women. Wollstonecraft comes to mind, etc., in the 1700s. But the idea that women needed the vote was one of the turning points in the culture. And I'm also really struck, as you speak, Laura, by the conundrums and the ways in which the world pulled you. So, for example, you wanted a conservative, very, very straight, what's considered the average or the standard or the norm, almost, it sounds to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, almost in response to the lying and the subterfuge and the having to live in the shadows that took place as a child. And at the same time, your incredible clarity about being bisexual. Now, your mother knew in college, did she go to college prior to marrying your dad? So did she know when she married your dad that she was bisexual?
You know, it was such a different time period that she had said, you know, had she felt attraction to another woman before she met my father? Yes, but it was not anything that she really thought about. And she said, if that marriage had worked out, she might have never questioned her sexuality. But when that marriage failed, she went back to school and she got her bachelor's and then she got her master's. And that was when she really came into her own. And at that point in her life, both of her parents had died and her only sibling, her brother, had died. And she was really alone in the world and really had to find her power. And she really felt that she couldn't be with a man and hold on to her power, that she would just slip back into a subservient role, and that she knew that wasn't her better self and that wasn't who she wanted to be. So she's called herself a political lesbian, in that there was certainly alternate paths she could have taken. She could have stayed married to my father, she could have married another man, she could have married a different woman, but she doesn't have regrets. She's been with the same woman for over 40 years, and their marriage has had a lot of problems. Mental illness is not easy for anyone to deal with, but they have managed to work it out, and in spite of my feelings, I can look at them and see that they love each other so very much and they are committed to each other and they still dance together in the kitchen and sing each other songs. And it's really quite adorable. But she found the one person. It really doesn't matter to her if it was a man or a woman, but she found the person that she needed to find.
Now, you said in spite of your feelings that you're looking at this marriage as a success. What exactly do you mean by that, if you don't mind opening that
up? I didn't have a happy childhood. My stepmother's mental illness was very scarring for me and for my brother. And because we didn't know, we weren't told that she was bipolar, we didn't know what was wrong. We knew that something terrible was wrong, and we didn't know what it was.
Did you ever have a time when you had that confused in your head that somehow this terrible thing that was happening had to do with lesbianism?
Yes, and actually there's a part in my book where I talk about that, that there were these two major things in my life, my mom's sexuality and this mental illness, and I was only given one word for both of them. I have this metaphor that, you know, wool socks can be both red and itchy, but red and itchy are independent of each other. But if the only word you have is red, then you think that the itchiness is part of the red. I'm not explaining it as well as I do on the page. I'm better at writing than speaking.
Oh, excuse me. I think you've done just a beautiful job in describing some of the conundrums of life. But certainly for you, this one must have been so central, and it does give us a very clear idea. So I like your metaphor of the socks.
When I was 17, I met another 17-year-old. Young woman is, I guess, the word. And her mother was a lesbian and her mother was an alcoholic. And she said to me, it took me a lot of years to realize my mother was a bad mother because she was an alcoholic and not because she was a lesbian. And I don't remember the name of this woman. I mean, we were talking in a parking lot outside of a church. But her words stayed with me my whole life because that was the first time someone said something that really described perfectly how I had felt.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Except my mother wasn't an alcoholic, so yes. It was a little bit murkier for me.
Absolutely, it would have been. And with as much darkness as we still have around mental illness, as much shame as people have, and as hard as that path is to admit and to bring into the world, that along with the lesbian would have meant that, yes, I don't know if you felt like you were living in shadows.
Absolutely. And I can understand why my mother and Pat were afraid to tell my brother and I. They lived with the fear that my biological father could go back to court and take us away. And my mom used to say, what judge is going to give a lesbian woman custody of children when there is a professional father with a successful career that wants to take the children? And I hope that today's society has evolved to the point where that's not as critical, but definitely in my childhood, that was a threat that was constantly hanging over our heads.
Wow, that is so powerful. And I know those times. I know the times that we've come through. I'm old enough to have remembered and to know what the courts were doing around who was the better parent and basing it in things that made women frightened that their children would be taken. So, Lara, let me just say that you've done an incredible job here. You've got two wonderful children. You've got your own life figured out. You've got your degrees, your master's degrees, and now you've written a book about your exploration, about your life thus far. It's fulfilling exactly what I believe memoir does, is give us an inside look at someone else's struggle so we may be stronger. Do you have anything to say to our listeners before we have to end for today?
I so appreciate your time. I'm excited about this book, and the one thing that I want to maybe warn people about is that I took an unusual approach in terms of the structure. I found in writing about my family, it was very hard for me to separate myself from the I on the page or the Lara on the page. And I knew I needed to create distance. I needed to make my parents three-dimensional people, not just seen through the child's eyes. And I wound up writing my memoir in third person, which is a very unusual choice. Salman Rushdie did it. Other people have done it. I'm not the first person to do it. And in the book, the protagonist is called Girl, and her brother is called Brother, and Mother and Father, and everyone is clearly delineated by their roles, which my father's been married 7 times. He and my mother both married women named Patricia. I had to simplify it as much as I possibly could.
Yes.
And then the book has what I call notes from the fourth wall, which are breaks of the adult narrator looking back and having additional insight as an adult. And so there's some first-person essays interspersed. And I'm very excited about the form of my memoir. It's a little experimental. I hope that people enjoy it, but it's a risk, and we'll see.
It is indeed. I've written a novel, and I've written a nonfiction book, and I've been writing poetry and performing it all my life. The hardest piece of writing I've ever done is a memoir for exactly the reason you're talking about. The structure is very challenging. So I'm delighted that you've opened up possibilities for more people who want to write memoir. Lara, it's been an absolute delight. Will you come back another day?
I would absolutely love to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it. That's all for today's program. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for this lovely music called Carefree. For more of my works, including excerpts from my books, go to www.soulsciences.net. And remember, take good care of each other. Bye for now.